This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had one of the Sahaba who was almost 15 or 16 years old. His name is Rabi'a al-Aslami. And his main job was to stand in front of the door of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the night, waiting for him to ask for water for the wudu. And subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was almost in his 60s. And imagine now, Rabi'a is almost 16. And all of a sudden, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out of his room looking for water for wudu. And Rabi'a was there. Rabi'a described what was happening while he's waiting for the Prophet ﷺ. He said, I would be standing there slumbering. You know slumbering? When you eat the biryani after coming back from work, you're sitting in front of me doing like this now. This is slumbering. So subhanAllah, he said, every time I would just like wake up from my slumber, I would hear the Prophet ﷺ saying, SubhanAllah. That means he was in a state of sujood. Imagine someone who's 61 enjoying the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the night, and somebody who's 16, you know, he's so tired and he's slumbering. It's amazing that Rabi'a said, all of a sudden the Prophet ﷺ came out and he said, Rabi'a, tabanna alay. Ask me for something. Make a wish. And let me stop the camera and bring it to the 21st century in Nottingham, UK. Imagine somebody who's 16 years old. How many people are 16 here? 2 years older than me, mashallah. Mashallah. Okay. What are the dreams of our teenagers today? Imagine now one of our teenagers in place of Rabi'a, and the Prophet ﷺ himself is asking me, like, make a wish. Ask me for something. What would it be? PS3? iPhone 5? iPod? What was it? You see what I'm saying? Are these the dreams? Okay, Rabi'a asked for something very precious. Somebody might say, he asked for Jannah. No. Even someone else might say, he asked for al-Firdaws al-A'la. That's the highest point in Jannah. Would you like to know what did he ask for? Say yes or no.
Yes.
Now?
Yes.
Or at the end of the talk?
Now.
Okay, Rabi'a said, Ya Rasulullah, uridu murafaqatak fil Jannah. I want to be with you in Jannah. Imagine, where would the Prophet ﷺ be? In the best place in Jannah. And the reason I'm sharing this story at the beginning is Ramadan is coming. And our beloved Prophet ﷺ, he told us, you know, when we aim, we have to aim high. And he said in the authentic hadith, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهِ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ الْعَالَى. If you were to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't say, oh Allah, take me to Jannah. No, take me to the highest degree in Jannah, which is al-Firdaws. Why? Because if you miss the target, you would end up in Jannah. But some people, their main goal in life is, oh Allah, save me from hellfire. What if you miss the target? You see what I'm saying? So we have to aim high. Now the topic is race to the forgiveness of Allah before Jannah. Did I say before Jannah or Ramadan? What's the ultimate goal of working hard in Ramadan? It is Jannah, right? What is the main zad, the main provision that we need to get to Jannah? Give me one word. Do we have candy here? Okay. What did you say? Rahmah. Or something like that. What's the main provision that we need to make it to Jannah? Because Allah commanded us, He said, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. الباب وتزودوا. Make provision. You know, when you're traveling, we're coming all the way from Birmingham, right? It's about 1 hour drive. So we got some water with us, some fruits on the way, because it's a very short journey, right? If you're traveling from here to Africa, you'll take a bag or two, you'll take some more money, right? What about the journey of your life? What do you need? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear in the Quran, said the only provision that will benefit you is not money, because there will be no money there. No children there. What you need is taqwa. What's the fruit that we get from Ramadan? What's the fruit? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in ayah number 183 and surah number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, said,
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu.
Say yes, Allah. Allah said this in the Quran 89 times. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu 89 times. How do you feel when you hear or recite Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu? Do you feel that Allah is talking to you? People who left their houses and they came just right after work to push their iman before Ramadan. So inshallah, I want you from now on to start reconnecting with the words of Allah. I want, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, I want you to feel very special that Allah is talking to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all amongst the true believers. Allah said,
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam.
O you who believe, indeed, fasting was prescribed upon you.
كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم.
And it was prescribed upon those before you. So we're not the first ummah to fast. It was different, but they fasted too. Behind every act of worship and behind every obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains on us, there's always an outcome and fruit. Only those who perform that sincerely to please Allah will give that fruit. So what's the fruit of fasting? Continue the ayah.
لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ.
So that you might learn taqwa. What's taqwa? When Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was asked, what's taqwa? He said, أَن تَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ النَّارِ وَالْقَارِ. He said, to make a barrier between you and the fire. He gave also another analogy. He said, if you are walking on a path, and that path, there are some thorns, what do? You try to grab your garment to stay away from being pricked by those thorns, right? He said, this is exactly taqwa. So you make a barrier between you and that fire. Ali radiallahu anhu ibn Abi Talib was asked, what's taqwa? He gave four statements. He said, he had khawf min al-jaleel, wal-amal min tanzeel, وَالرِّضَى بِالْقَلِيلِ وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادُ لِيَوْمُ الرَّحِيلِ. Four things. He said, it's to be conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see you and can hear you wherever you go. Second, it is to do any act in your life in accordance with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is to be content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in this life. And to be ready for the day when you're going to be leaving this life. This is step one. And for those who attended the first weekend with me in the eternal journey, I give them a very nice analogy of taqwa. I said taqwa is to be conscious that there is a camera going with you wherever you go. And it's taping you 24/7. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Qaf,
وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ.
Allah said, we have created man, and we hear out of glory. It's the royal we, not the plural we. We have created man, and we know the whispers that goes into his heart and his mind.
وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ.
And we're closer to him than the jugular vein. Not as some people say Allah is everywhere. No, it means, listen to the next ayah. It explains it very simply. Allah said,
إِذْ يَتَلَقَّى الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ. عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد.
So whatever an utterance that you make, there's an angel here writing the good deeds, and there's an angel here writing the bad deeds. And that's what I mean by the camera taking you 24/7. And to give you an example that I shared with my brothers and sisters in the class last week, who amongst you is married and have kids? Raise your hands, please. Okay. You know when you go out and you come back and you find the house is in a mess? And you bring the team and come here. Who did this? Not me. Not me. Right? You always hear this. All of them will say, not me. And the same thing happens with me all the time. So when I bring my three little, you know, angels, you know, that's the situation all the time. They're going to say, not me, not me. I said, like, okay, how can we fix this? So one day I made a plan with my wife, and when we came back home, I said, who did this? And they the same answer, not me, not me. I said, like, to my son, so who do you think? He said, maybe Shaitan, man. So I said, you know what? One day Shaitan can catch that Shaitan. And that was the plan. When I came back home, I asked the same question, I got the same answer. And I said, you know what? I have a surprise for you. He said, what? I said, I have covers all over the place. I'm going to catch the Shaitan here. And all the faces of the three kids turned pale. As I know, I am the one who took your parents. I'm the one who scattered all the books over the place. I'm the one who spilled the juice over here and there. Now, because they knew that there was a camera taking them, they're conscious now that it's going to be revealed and going to be advanced. And this is exactly what Allah is telling us in Surah Qaf. There are two angels here who write down everything. So you are tamed 24/7. And this is why I'm saying, imagine yourself at the end of the day that somebody will tell you, listen, we're going to bring this to you. You're going to be watching yourself, what you have done for the whole day. And there's a camera. How would you feel at that point? And that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described. You know, those who think that Allah does not see them, and this is the essence of taqwa, by the way. Those who think that Allah doesn't see them, those who think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't hear what they are saying, they will be so embarrassed on the day of judgment. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Kahf, Surah 18, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ, and when the report will be given to the people, فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ, you will see the criminals. Allah called them criminals. Why? Because they don't have taqwa. They never thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see them, or there's a record of everything they've been doing.
ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرا.
How come that this book, that record, does not miss anything tiny that we have done or we have said in this life or in the world in life? You know that day when you look down upon someone, that person was better than thousands of human beings in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the essence of Ramadan. It is taqwa. So for us to make it to Jannah, let me ask the question again. What do we need? The only provision is taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayah 133, surah number 3, surah Al-Imran, said,
وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ.
Allah is commanding us to raise. سَارِعُوا, the same meaning, is in ayah number 21 in Surah Al-Hadid, Surah number 57. Allah said, سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ. Again, race. Compete with one another. What do we compete with one another today? Where is the race going? Where is the race going on today in our life? Having more money? Having a better car? You know, a more like a spacious house? Which is not haram to have them. But the idea is, you're leaving the house. The Prophet used to live in a room. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, he used to live in a room in Baghdad. He doesn't have enough money to change his sandals. And his son Abdullah asked him one day, he said, Dad, متى يستريح الإنسان? When shall we have comfort and relaxation? And what did his dad say to him? He said, Ya Bunay, يستريح الإنسان عند أول خطوة يخطوها في الجنة. With the first step that he makes into Jannah. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this ayah, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَالْجَنَّةِ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. If you analyze this ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, race to the forgiveness of Allah and Jannah, so you can't make it to Jannah before the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the condition. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the expanse of which is equal to the heavens and the earth, and it has been ready for Muttaqeen. Who are Muttaqeen? Those who would reap the fruit of Ramadan. And how many times in the Quran we read Al-Muttaqeen, Al-Mu'mineen, and then the Imam in the khutbah will say, Ittaqullah, Aminu Billah, and then he wouldn't leave you without a recipe. You know, usually in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ يَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. This is the beginning of Surah Al-Mulk, Surah 23, right? And we read what's next without realizing that Allah is talking about the qualities of المؤمنون. Who are المؤمنون? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. These are the qualities. So when Allah says المتقين or المتقون in the Quran, what comes next will tell you what are the qualities of المتقون. So who would like to be successful in Ramadan? One hand? Two hands? Okay, mashallah. So, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the qualities of al-muttaqeen, what should we do in Ramadan? We should know these qualities and apply them. So Allah is saying, race for the forgiveness of Allah and Jannah. And that Jannah is ready for al-muttaqeen. Who are al-muttaqeen? الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. The first quality, inshallah, in Ramadan is those who spend in thick and thin. Those who spend when they have lots of money and when they have little money. And the Prophet said, رُبَّ دِينَار سَبَقَ مِئَةَ أَلْفِ دِينَار. If it would be 1 dinar, I would say today, with today's language, 1 pound, then it would be, you know, more valuable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than 100,000. Why? He said, because the one who paid 100,000 is a billionaire. This is nothing compared to his money. But the one who gave a dinar to his brother, he has only 2 dinars. So how much did he give? He gave half his money. So this is what the Prophet said, لا تحترن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجهك. Never look down upon something good that you might do in your life, even to receive your brother with a smiling face. How much is it possible? You know, I know that people in England, I know that they're very serious. You know, and even sometimes when I try to be humorous, they get bored of this. You know, smiling is not common. In fact, your beloved Prophet and my beloved Prophet, he was never seen but smiling. And his smile would attract people to Islam. You know, Abdullah ibn Salam, who was a rabbi, he accepted Islam by looking at the face of the Prophet. Imagine if the face of the Prophet was like many of the youth today, like, I'm sorry, so much. Don't smile. Why? You know, in fact, the Prophet said, when you smile, when you receive your brother with a smile on your face, this is an act of charity. Would you like to give me a charity? I'm not going to ask for parents, okay? Just smile. Okay? So, Abdullah ibn Salam looked in the face of the Prophet and he said, Wallahi, فَلَمَّا نَظَرْتُ فِي وَجْهِهِ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ هَذَا لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِكَ الْبَرِ. Just by looking at the face of the Prophet, I said, this is not the face of Allah, as they used to say about him. So, back to what I was talking about. What was the last thing I was talking about? Yes, that's the first quality. So, they spend in thick and thin. When they have lots of money, when they have little money. What's the second quality of Muttaqeen? Something attempt for Ramadan, inshallah, to make the best of Ramadan. How many people here have Don't be embarrassed. Yeah. Allah is filling you. Ramadan is coming. And the Prophet asked the Sahaba one time, he said, مَا تَعُدُّونَ أَشْهَدِي سِكُمْ. Who do you consider a strong person amongst you? قَالِ رَسُولَّهُ أَشْهَدِدُ فِينَا بِالسَّرَعَ. A person who is a good boxer, a good wrestler, who knocks people down. That's a strong one. Prophet said, no. إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلُكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. A strong person is the person who can control himself or herself when they have a fit of anger. Why? Because when we get angry sometimes, you know, we might do things and it's too late to repent of what we say or what we do. Now, what's next? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْعَافِينَ عَلِ النَّاسِ. And those who forgive and forget what others have done to them. And before I go on, Allah said وَالْعَافِينَ. He didn't say وَالْغَافِرِينَ. How many people speak Arabic here? Okay. The verb يَغْفِر means to forgive. But the verb يَعْفُ means يَمْحُ. So you forgive and forget. How many people here in the room can forgive, but they find it very difficult to forget? Raise your hand. You see the same people. Okay, so you're going to. Subhanallah. Isn't this amazing? And I'm going to give you an example to explain this. You know, sometimes for those who are married, when they have a fight, which is the spices of marital life, when they have a fight with their wives, and he has to go and buy some gold or a new dress or something, and he'll give this, you know, some sort of, you know, compromise, like, I'll come back, I'll make him tawbah, please accept me back. And subhanAllah, she's going to say, I forgive you. But this means that she forgives him. Anyway, and then the next fight in the following week, they have a fight again, and she's going to say, oh, you're doing this again? And he says, I'm sorry. I thought you forgave me last week, sir. Yes, I forgive them. Why did you bring it up again? If you forgive me. So she forgave, but she did not forget. And Allah said, if you want to have taqwa, which is, again, the fruit of Ramadan, we need to exercise this inshallah in Ramadan. Learn how to forgive and forget. And this is why, subhanAllah, you know the dua that Aisha radiallahu anha in al-Bukhari, when she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, if it was the best night ever in the year, which is the night of al-Qadr. She said, Prophet of Allah, teach me a dua that I would make. Do you know the dua? Allahumma innaka. Stop there. The Prophet didn't say Allahumma innaka ghafoor, right? Allahumma innaka afoon, tuhibbu al-afwa, because we are asking Allah not only to forgive our sins, but to erase them. They're not there anymore. You see what I'm saying? So we need to learn this in Ramadan also, inshallah. To control our anger and to forgive and forget. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is a higher degree. Some people control their anger, this is what they can do. This is the most they can do. But others, they control their anger, they forgive and forget. But you know what? There is a higher degree. Some people, they do good to those who wrong them. This is called compassion. Why? Because they say, being good to those who are good does not make you good. Being kind to those who are kind to you does not make you kind. What do you mean? I mean, being kind to those who are not kind to you, that's exactly the real meaning of compassion. And our beloved Prophet taught us this from many situations himself. One example is when he came and conquered Mecca after 21 years of his mission. What happened to the people of Mecca when they saw him coming and they entered Mecca? They were all behind their doors and they were scared to death. They said, oh, it's fighting now for revenge. And he has the power. And the Prophet asked them all to come and show up in front of them. He said, مَا تَظُنُّونَ أَنْ يَفْعَلُ بِكُمْ. What do you think I'm going to do to you? Do you know who are these people? These are the people who oppress you. Do These are the people who expelled him out of Mecca. And when he was going out of Mecca, he was crying. He said, Wallahi innaka la ahabbu baqa'il ardi ila qalbi. By Allah, you are the most beloved part of land on earth to my heart. Walawla anna ahlika akhrajuni min Quraysh. And if it were not for those people who expelled me out of you, I would never leave you. Now, he's powerful. He has, you know, the authority to kill them, to torture them, to retaliate, to revenge. And what was the answer from them? When he asked them at least about their expectations, they said, Akhun Kareem, Wabnu Akhin Kareem. All what we know about you, you're a noble brother, and you're the son of a noble brother. What did he say? He could have tortured them. He could have like commanded for all of them to be killed. He said, Idhabu fa'antum tunqa. And that's the meaning I'm talking about. Not only to control your anger, not only to forgive and forget, but to do good to the people who wronged you. He said, go, you're free. Same meaning, the companions of the Prophet, the best generation ever, they told us the real meaning of compassion. Would you like the story? Give me charity first. There's only two who are smiling all the time. Okay. I think we're going to do a fundraise before I leave. Because they're willing to give money but not to smile, you know? Okay. Here's Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah. SubhanAllah. One day, he went to the market to buy something. And when he went to the market, and he chose whatever he wanted to buy, he put his hands into his pocket and he found out that he was robbed. His money was stolen. So he said to the man, you know, I can't, you know, because like, I lost my money. So the man, when he heard this, he shouted in the market, he said, Ayyuhan nas, laqad suriqa Abdullah ibn Umar, fad'u ala sariqi. He said, oh people, Abdullah ibn Umar has been robbed of his money. So make dua against the man who stole his money. So everyone, mashallah, you know how when we have a situation like this, everybody would like to contribute. Everybody raises his hand. May Allah curse him. May Allah destroy him. May Allah not bless the money that he took from him. But Abdullah ibn Umar did something completely different. Would you like to know it?
Yes.
Now?
Yes.
Give me a smile. Okay. Abdullah ibn Umar raised his hand and he said, Allahumma in kana, hadha ladhi akhada mali, muhtajan ilayh, fabarik lahu fi. Oh Allah, if the man who took my money is in need of it, oh Allah, bless it for him. Allahumma in kana lissarfa ja'alha akhira dhunubih. Oh Allah, if this man is a professional thief, make it his last sin. You understand the meaning now? This is wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Can we do this in Ramadan? Say yes we can.
Yes, we can.
Yes you can, inshallah. Okay? Yeah. This is wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Did the Prophet ﷺ do this? Did the Sahaba do this? Did even the Tabi'in do this? Did the scholars, you know, who came after that do this? Yes, I can share lots of stories with you about this meaning. وَالْقَاضِ مِنَ الْغَيْرِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The Prophet ﷺ had a next door neighbor who was a Jew. And every single day, he would throw the, you say rubbish, right? He would throw the rubbish, you know, in front of his door. Every day. And the Prophet ﷺ could have called 999, right? But you would never do this. Why? Because he's teaching us how to be amongst the muttaqeen, how to be amongst those who will reap the fruit of Ramadan. To control our anger, he did. Forgive and forget, he did. Do good to the wrongdoer, he'll take the rubbish and throw it away. For years. And one day he went out, the message was not there. What did he do? He went to check on his neighbor. He went on the door. And the man said, who? He said, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. He said, what do you want? Is it because I'm sick or happy? Look at the intention. He said, look at the words the Prophet ﷺ used. He didn't even mention what he has been doing for years. He said, إِنْ تَمَسْتُكْ فَلَمْ أَجْدُكْ فَجِدْتُهُ أَعُوْكَ. I haven't seen you today. In fact, in the quotes, I haven't seen you. Rubbish, Mr. Rubbish. Okay. But he never mentioned that. Okay, I haven't seen you today, and I said maybe you need something, so I just came to check on you. Allah. What kind of business is this? So the man said, this is the person put in front of the house every day. Don't you get offended? So why don't you do something? He said, deal ديننا يأمرنا بالصبر على هذا الجهل. Our faith commands us to be patient with anything that's evil from our neighbors. He said, دينك هذا أحق أن يتبع. He said, your religion should be followed. And he just like right away took the shahada and he became Muslim. What made him accept Islam? Is it the personal person or is it the character of the Prophet? Same meaning, subhanAllah, happened later on for who? For one of the grandchildren of the Prophet. You know, Zain al-Abidin, Ali, the grandson of Ali Abdullah, the son of the Hussein, the son of Al-Hassan, radiallahu anhu. One day, he was making wudu, and the slave was pouring the water on him to make wudu. And subhanAllah, the jug fell off his hand, splashed the water on the body of Zain al-Abidin. So he got angry, but subhanAllah, the slave was so smart. So what did he do? He said, he reminded him with that. He said, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْرِ. He said, تَبَقْرُهَنْ. Just by reminding him, he said, and those who control the anger, he said, I'm not going to say nothing. Because he showed in his face that he was angry. But the slave was so small. He continued. He said, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. He said, عَفَقْرُهَنْ. He said, and forgive. And forgive and forgive. Nothing has happened. Yet, the slave was so smart. He continued the ayah. He said, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves those who are good doers. He said, what good can I do to you? You know what? Go, you are free for the sake of Allah. You see, by following the Quran, the slave got his freedom. And look at the reaction of the Sahabi. What did he do? He responded by the word of the Quran. Imagine today if you have a fight with someone and he said, Allah says, like, no, stay away from Allah now. Let's finish our fight. And then we'll go back to Allah. You see, you know, whenever they were reminded with the words of Allah, they would go back to the right word. And that is the main difference between us and them. Now, Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. Anybody who doesn't know Bukhari? Everybody knows him. He was sitting with his students and he was teaching them the hadith and he was writing, you know, the hadith. While he was doing this, his maid passed by and by mistake she pushed his elbow and Al-Bukhari radiallahu anhu was blind. SubhanAllah, so the ink splashed over the book and over his forehead. And the students were waiting for the reaction of Al-Bukhari radiallahu anhu. What did he do? He just looked like this for a few seconds and then he smiled and then he turned around and said, go to your free for the sake of Allah. And he said, what did he do? He splashed the ink on the book and the clothing and the rewarding her for this. He said, I remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-Muttaqeen, the only people who make it to Jannah are Al-Muttaqeen, who pass from Allah to reach the feet, they have wanted. One of them is Al-Kaadimin al-Ghayb. So I wanted to be angry, but Allah said, if you want to be amongst the Muttaqeen, you have to curb your anger. So I curbed my anger. And then Allah said, وَالْعَافِينَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. So I have no option but to forgive and forget what she has done to me. And then Allah said, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِ. I want to apply this part also of the ayah. So what best can I do to a slave? Which is not true. This is how they used to interact with the Quran, with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started this ayah, with وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, in order for Allah to forgive us, we have to make tawbah. I'm going to conclude with this. What's the meaning of tawbah? Who should make tawbah? When should we make tawbah? What are the conditions of tawbah? And are there stories of some people who make tawbah at last of the day and then open the doors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, if you continue the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ
يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون.
And again, another quality of the Ruqtaqeen, whenever الذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة, whenever they commit a sin, even some scholars said, and you know, the word fahisha in the Quran, you know, sometimes it means committing adultery. Or generally speaking, ma yusafash in the power of prayer. Anything that will be abhorred of what you say or what you do. Al-Zalamu al-Fusma, and they transgress the limits, you know, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing themselves by committing sins. Dhakar Allah, they remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can hear them and can see them, and this is the meaning of taqwa again. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. So they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive their sins. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Who else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins? وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. And they do not insist on committing the same sin again and again and again. Brothers and sisters, good news. Every time the person will say, أَسْتَغْفِرُوا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to the angels and he would say, عَلِمَ عَبْدِي أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يُؤَهْدُ بِالْذَنْبِ يُشْهِدُكُمْ أَنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُ. Every time you say, oh Allah forgive me, Allah talks to the angels saying, my servant knows that he has a Lord that will hold him accountable for whatever he has done, bear witness that I have forgiven him or her. Every time you say astaghfirullah, but the proper way. It has to become from the heart and you should mean it. Because Ali ibn Abi Talib passed by someone and he was saying like this, astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. He said, أخي إن استغفارك هذا في حاجة إلى استغفار. The man was saying astaghfirullah, but the way he was saying it, Ali radiallahu anhu said to him, the way you are saying it need you to make istighfar from the istighfar itself. Because that's exactly what sometimes we do. You know? Sometimes somebody does something and say, Subhanallah, ya akhi. Does this mean Subhanallah? What is the meaning of Subhanallah, by the way? Somebody's going to say, all praise is due to Allah. This glory. Is a translation. Subhanallah means? Glory be to Allah. This is a translation. I want to go deeper into the meaning. Now, I was praying, and after the salah, there was someone sitting next to me. And you know how do we do khutam salah? We go like this. Shh, done. What do you do? And I said, what's the meaning of subhanAllah? I said, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. What's wrong with you? But you guys will feel to your left, you know, there's something wrong with your. SubhanAllah, just a subhanAllah. It's simple. I said, yeah, but you know what? When you understand what you're saying, you feel the sweetness of Iman. And it will give you the boost that you want. But when you repeat things that you don't understand, it will never change anything. Ramadan is coming, and Ramadan is the shahr of Quran, right? And we need to interact with the Quran. How can we interact with the Quran without understanding what's being recited? This is why I would recommend all my brothers and sisters who do not know Arabic, you know, read the juz every day and read the translation of the juz, so you need to know what you're reading. Read the juz that is likely to be recited in the Taraweeh, so you enjoy what the Imam is saying. Because wallahi, nothing will move your heart into tears, and those tears would make your eyes never be touched by hellfire, inshallah. When you know what you are reading, or when you know what the Imam is reciting. But imagine now if I start speaking in Russian. How many people will interact with me? This is exactly how I feel, you know, if I don't know Arabic and the Imam is reciting the Quran in front of me. Am I right or right? This is exactly what it is. So we need to interact with the Quran. And this is the only way we can interact with the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ would hear a woman in the middle of the night while he was walking in the street saying, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. He would start crying right away. He said, نَعَمْ أَتَانِي, نَعَمْ أَتَانِي. Because he knows what she's talking about. She's talking about the Day of Judgment. Do you know what's going to happen in the Day of Judgment? And say, yes, I know, yes, I know. And it will come to his mind right away, the horrors of the Day of Judgment. But if you don't know what's being recited, how can you interact with it? So, now, let's go back to what's the meaning of tawbah. Allah said, if we need Jannah, we have to have taqwa. That's the equation. If we need Jannah, we have to have taqwa, but there's a precondition before Jannah, which is وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. If you want to get ready for Ramadan, the best thing you can do is to make tawbah before Ramadan. Because wallahi, some people, they receive Ramadan without making tawbah. And in Ramadan, they keep doing what they're doing, or they stop in Ramadan and they go back right after Ramadan. The best sign that Allah accepted your heart to work in Ramadan is that you continue after Ramadan to be obedient to Allah. But some people, subhanAllah, they wait until Ramadan is done and just like, no, alhamdulillah, Ramadan is over, we can go back to the music and the movies and backbiting and gossiping. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan is over. Allah of Ramadan is Allah of Shawwal. Allah of all the year. What happens to us? Do we worship Allah only in Ramadan? So again, to make this Ramadan an outstanding Ramadan, I want you to start getting ready from now by gradually preparing yourself to the peak performance in Ramadan. How did I start my talk? I said, if you want to aim high, right? So start training yourself from now by doing what? First of all, try to fast during Mondays and Thursdays. This is going to be a training for you. So when Ramadan comes, it will be easier for you. Second thing, when was the last time you opened the Quran? Last Ramadan? Start opening it now. Break that routine. Because once Ramadan comes, we get the Mus'haf, right? Out of the nice box that's on top of the TV. Once Ramadan is over, we put it back to collect dust for the rest of the year. Again, I want you to start from now. Read, inshallah, at least, half a juz. So by the time Ramadan will start, you can read your juz, so you can finish, the whole of the Quran during Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ أَلَّذِي أُنْزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. There is something very special about Ramadan. Ramadan is the month of the Quran. The Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, starting, every year, Jibril alayhi salam would come down and would revise the Quran with the Prophet during Ramadan. And this is why, subhanAllah, in some masajid, they do this sunnah, they read one juz every day so that they make sure that they finish the whole of, the Quran during Ramadan. Because Jibril alayhi salam used to come and teach the Prophet and revise with him the whole Quran during Ramadan. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُزَّمِّلِ قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. When was the last time you did Qiyam al-Layl? Last Ramadan? Let's break the routine, inshallah, and start eating ready, inshallah. Start gradually. You don't have to do the full Qiyam. Do half of it, one third of it, until, inshallah, the beginning of Ramadan, you'll be ready, inshallah, for it. What else? How much do you remember of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If I were to ask all the audience here, who amongst you love Allah? I'm serious, raise your hand. One hand? Is this how much you love Allah? One hand? Two hands? I wish I had 10. Okay, now the question is, can I repeat the question in a different way? Who truly, by his action or the action, love Allah? Raise your hands. And think before you raise your hand this time. Who truly, through their actions, love Allah more than anyone and than anything else? You see how many hands came up now? And even those who raise their hands, I still can challenge them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, told us in ayah number 24 in surah number 9, He said, our heart has room for 11 loves. But the problem is, how, we struggle in this life to arrange them the right order, to put them in the right order. Briefly, the ayah says, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٍ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنَ تَرْضَوْنَهَا. Those are eight loves. They represent the dunya. Allah said after that, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ. If you love those eight more than the coming three, if you love them more. It's not haram to love them because it's our nature. We have to love our parents. But if you love them more than three, min Allah wa Rasulih وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. So our job is in this life to struggle to make Allah the first love in our heart. The Messenger of Allah number two. You know, struggling for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala number three. And then you should put your parents number four, your children number five, and the list goes on. Now, would you like me to put you to a test? Say yes or yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd love to. Okay. Now, I'll put you to the test now. It's, what time is Fajr here? It's like 3 something, right? 3?
Time starts at
3
minutes.
3:30, 3:45. Okay, okay, let's say 3, okay? Let's say Fajr is 3. Okay. Now let me share this story with you. The time is 1 o'clock a.m. Okay? And you are sleeping in peace next to your wife, and you have a baby in the next door, and all of a sudden, there's an adhan coming from the next door. You know when the babies have problems? There's only one language they speak. It is crying, right? When the baby next door starts crying, what will happen? Would you say that you enjoy singing? No. Someone first will jump out of bed. Who?
The mother.
The mother. Right? The father will pretend he's like, you know, he's dead. It's not my job. And then the mother will go and try everything possible, right? Try to breastfeed him, still crying. Change the diapers, still crying. Give him the medication that they got the last time, still crying. At that point, she will resort to the dead man, right? I tried everything, come and help. Support him. So the job now, they're going to carry him. Would they stop there? Or would they respond to the adhan and keep trying something else, right? They will take him to something called the emergency in the hospital, right? Now, the doctor examined him, continued these, gave him the medication, diagnosed the problem, they drag him back home, they put the baby in the bed. It's almost 2 minutes, to, like 3 minutes to three. And then once they go to bed, another adhan comes up. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You know what they say? Yes. But you know, we're tired, Allah. We just came back from the hospital and we're up from 1 o'clock because our baby. To whom are you complaining? He knows everything. Why do you start now making excuses? You know, when the baby was crying, you didn't think, you jumped out of bed to stop that adhan or to respond to that adhan. Right or right? But now, we're going to sleep for half an hour. I'm going to wake up, inshallah. We'll set the alarm. You set the alarm and you wake up at 9 o'clock. Let me ask the question again. Who's more beloved to you? Allah or your children? I'm talking about actions. Actions speak louder than words. And I'm giving you real examples from our real life. Let alone when somebody is doing a homework or something and the adhan comes up. What is the meaning of Allahu Akbar? It means leave everything because Allah is greater than what you're doing. And this is what the Sahaba used to do. A Sahabi would be a farmer and he would be like raising the axe like this. He hears Allahu Akbar, he throws the axe behind his back. He said, if I go one more, I'm saying my work is Akbar. A Sahabi was a blacksmith and he is holding the hammer in his hand. And every time he hears Allahu Akbar, he wouldn't go down with the hammer. He would just like put it like that. He said, if I just go one more hit, it means my work is Akbar. But you know today? Okay, Allah Ghafur Rahim. There's 3 hours between Dhuhr and Asr, inshallah. Let me finish what I'm doing. And then Shaitan comes and is like, you know what? Allah doesn't need your prayer anyway. And then, oh my God, it's almost the Asr. And Shaitan will come and say, you lost like the Dhuhr already, okay? So just like, combine them all, inshallah, by the end of the day. And gradually, with Salah. Or you pray one day and you leave one day. That's what I'm trying to say. Now let me just conclude with, what is the meaning of tawbah? We need to start Ramadan, inshallah, by, we said, مَغْفِرَةِ مَرَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةِ and the jannah for the muttaqeen. The muttaqeen are those who reap the fruit of Ramadan. Because لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, this is the fruit of Ramadan, right? So go back, what's tawbah? Tawbah in the Arabic language means عَادَة. to go back. And tawbah, technically speaking, means to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and admit your sins and ask Him for forgiveness. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. If you want to resort, resort to Allah. In fact, Allah divided people into two times. If you read in Surah Al-Hujurat, Surah number 4, ayah number 11, Allah at the end of this ayah said,
وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ.
Those who don't make tawbah, they are ظالمون. So you are either tariq or ظالم. Which one would you like to be? Especially before Allah. InshaAllah, all of us will be ta'ibun, not ظالمون. So I want to make tawbah. Who should make tawbah? Listen to the Quran, Allah answered the questions. Who should make tawbah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah number 24, Surah Al-Nur, ayah number 31. He said,
وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ.
وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, this is a command, this is a verb in the imperative mood. Allah is saying, and make tawbah, all of you believers. المؤمنون. Allah didn't say, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ أَيُّهَا الْمُذْنِبُونَ or الْفَاسِقُونَ, the sinful or the wrongdoers, it is المؤمنون. If the believer needs tawbah, what about the Muslim? What about the sinful? And Allah said, جَمِيعًا, because someone sitting in our jail said, I'm good, alhamdulillah. I pray 3 times a day. My mother's an extreme, she prays 5 times a day. My uncle is, mashallah, freelancer. He prays ayyukum. He's not an extreme. This is how we buy ourselves. That's for ourselves as Muslims. So now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, جَمِيعًا, so he's not making this. The Prophet ﷺ, in one gathering like this, he would make tawbah according to the hadith reported in Muslim by Abu Hurairah 70 times. He would make tawbah this for 70 times. Can you give me one example of the sins of the Prophet ﷺ? And he's making tawbah this for 70 times in a gathering like this. And he said in the hadith, كُلُّ ابْنِ آدَمَ خَطَّهَا. All the children of Adam are in a constant state of mistakes, making mistakes. He didn't say مُخْطَأ or خَطَأ. خَطَّأ عَلَى وَدْنِ فَعَالٍ سِرَّتْ مُبَالَمًا. Frequently make mistakes. Am I right or right? All of us, no exception. But then he said, وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّئِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. The best amongst those who frequently make mistakes are those who also frequently repent and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. Now, what type of tawbah does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expect from us? Allah answered this question in Surah number 66 and number 8, Surah Al-Tahrim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu.
Would you respond this time, inshallah? Yes, Allah. I want you to feel that Allah is talking to you.
Tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha.
Make tawbah to Allah. So this is a command for Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Not Ya ayyuha al-nas. Ya ayyuha al-ladhina amanu, special people. Tubu ila Allah. Go back to Allah and repent. Tawbatan nasuha. Tawbatan nasuha means sincere tawbah from the heart. Because sometimes you say, inshallah, I'm a tarib, I'm a repentant, inshallah. But you say it just by the mouth, just by the tongue. Allah said, tawbatan nasuha. It has to be from the heart. And all of you know the story of the man who killed 100 people? You know, the reason Allah accepted him? Read the ending of the hadith. Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, when the angels of torture and the angels of mercy, they disagreed together, like, you know, the angels of torture, they said, he has done nothing good in his life. We should take him to hellfire. The angels of mercy, they said, لَقَدْ جَاءَ مُنِيبًا بِقَلْبِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. I want you to underline these two words. مُنِيبًا means, you know, making tawbah without procrastination. He didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say when I get engaged. He didn't say when I get encaged. He didn't say when I do Umrah. He didn't say when I go for Hajj. He didn't say when I see the first gray hair in my hair. No. Right away when the man said to him, in Talaq, one of the narrations said, he just swerved like this. He didn't even walk. And then he died. So they said, Muniban biqalbihi, sincerely from the heart. Not saying, I'm going to make tawbah, just by the time. So, now, from what should we make tawbah? From minor sins and major sins. From minor sins and major sins. And the Prophet ﷺ, alhamdulillah, promised us, he said, you know, between Jum'ah to Jum'ah, between, you know, Ramadan to Ramadan, alhamdulillah, between Umrah to Umrah, Allah will forgive the minor sins as long as we do not commit major sins. But major sins need certain conditions of tawbah. What are they? I want you to ask me this question, inshallah, in the Q&A. What are the conditions of tawbah that I make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept my tawbah? But before I finish, I'm going to ask you a question. When should we make tawbah? When should we make tawbah? Do you need to know the answer? Again, the answer is in the Quran, Surah Luqman, Surah number 31, and number 34, the last ayah in the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٌ.
No one knows what provision they will make tomorrow. No one knows where they're going to die. So if you don't know where you're going to die, when should you make tawbah? Now. Do not procrastinate your tawbah. Ramadan is coming. It's a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preferred some places over others, because when you pray in the Haram, in Mecca, it's equal to 100,000 times when you pray in another masjid. When you pray in the masjid of the Prophet in Medina, it's equal to 1,000 salah in any other masjid. When you pray in Al-Aqsa, may Allah free it soon, inshallah, you know, it's equal to 500 times, you know, that you pray in any other masjid. And also Allah preferred some times to other times. So let me just conclude with this. What is the best month of the year? It's coming soon. Take advantage of it. What are the best 10 nights of the year? The last 10 nights of Ramadan. What is the best night ever in the year? The night of Al-Qadr. It's one of the old nights in the last 10 nights, which means 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, or 29th. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, hide that so that we can, you know, do more deeds, inshallah, in all of these nights? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr. It is better than alf shahr. Alf shahr is equal to 83 years. 83 years. One night, you do good deeds, it's equal to 83 years. Who would waste that night, inshallah? No one. So we'll do our best, inshallah, to make this Ramadan an outstanding Ramadan. Let me finish with a question that I'm going to answer, inshallah, in the Q&A. Do you know the best day, which is the best night? Do you know what's the best day in the year? Arafah, mashallah. And the best 10 days? The first 10 days of the Hajj, mashallah. I wish I had candy. I owe you 2 candies, inshallah. So this, inshallah, I'm going to conclude, and I expect some questions, inshallah, from you. First question.
Sorry, brothers. The way this question system is going to work is that we'll take one question from brothers, one from sisters. If you have a question, just raise your hand up.
Okay,
all right.
Okay.
I can hear them, inshallah. Okay. What's the first question? Yes.
Can you elaborate on the way the person was making istighfar? Was it a sarcastic way, or was it just a...
No, it was like, you know, sometimes when we're angry, this is exactly what I told the brother who was sitting next to me when he was finishing the Kitab al-Salah. He was going like... So I just wanted to ask him, like, you know, do you reflect on the meaning of subhanAllah? Because if you say subhanAllah, understanding what it means, enjoying what it means, you will feel the sweetness of dhikr. But why don't we feel the sweetness of dhikr? Because we say words, we don't understand what they mean. And this is why when I told the brother, like, what's the meaning of subhanAllah? I said, like, subhanAllah, subhanAllah, what's wrong with you? Like, do you know what's the meaning of subhanAllah? I said, I was told the meaning of subhanAllah. Would you like me to share it with you? He said, yes. I said, subhanAllah means, تَنْزِيهٌ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَنْ كُلِّ نَقْصٍ فَلِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الْكَمَالِ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ. That's what it means. Okay? Means like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far from imperfection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect in His names, His acts, and His attributes. So when you say subhanAllah one time, understanding what it means, that's better than saying it 33 times without understanding what you're saying. That's what I meant. So that person said, astaghfirullah, he was angry. He didn't mean, I asked Allah for forgiveness. You know, it's exactly like, you know, for those who, like, you know, who used to watch Arabic movies, like, you know, the star in the movie, in the morning, he will come out and, like, you know, he'll twist his ankle or something, and he'll say, astaghfirullah. And when you say like, what do you mean? Is it astaghfirullah or astankar Allah? Like when you say astaghfirullah that way, you're angry, as if you're saying, why Allah? Why? What are you doing? Okay? So that's what I mean. Okay, the conditions of tawbah, since you're not going to ask me a question, I'm going to ask myself the question that I was expecting, the four conditions of tawbah, to make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept that tawbah. First one, you know, three of them are relating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one is relating to the human beings. The three relating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-iqla' al-dhanb, to quit the sin. The second one is to regret, to have a sense of guilt, remorse, and regret that you committed that sin. And third, you know, to have a strong resolve and conviction and determination that you will not go back and commit that sin. These are related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth one is called the restitution of rights, like raddul madalim wa istibra'id dhimam. You give anyone whatever you have taken from them, and you have to ask them to forgive you. Now, let me just go and, you know, shed light in detail about each one of them. First one, iqla' al-dhanb, to quit the sin. That means you stop that sin that you are committing. But your intention should be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, some people, when they go to the doctor, they tell them, stop smoking because you will die. So they say, I'm making tawbah from smoking because I will die. You will get no reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for quitting smoking. Because you're quitting smoking to live. And life is in the hands of Allah. So you should make tawbah because smoking is haram. Because smoking is haram. So now when you quit the sin for the sake of Allah. Some people stop, for example, stealing. Why? Because they might be embarrassed, they might be caught by the police. So if you stop it because of the fear of human beings, you get no reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should stop or quit the sin only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, we said to have a sense of regret, a sense of remorse. Why? Because the Prophet, according to, you know, Imam Ahmad, he said, An-nadamu tawbah. So the feeling of remorse in itself is repentance. And he said also in the Muslim, التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له. Whoever quits a sin as if he is sinless. Third, to have a strong determination that you're not going to go back and commit that sin. And that can only be done by changing the environment, changing your friends. You know, staying away from things that will always tempt you to go back and do that sin. For example, some people, when they are with the laptop in their own room, they can't resist the temptation. And they will go and do something wrong. So I would say, take the laptop, put it in the living room, where everybody can see you. So you're helping yourself. Tell me who are your friends, I'll tell you who you are. So, you know, if your friends go to the pub, you're likely to go there. If your friends go to the masjid, then you're likely to go to the masjid. So change your friends. So you cannot have that strong determination without changing. If you have some like pictures or like, you know, some old files that will remind you of the sin, delete them. Get rid of them. And the chance is coming because Ramadan is coming. The fourth one is to give back the rights. These rights are two types of rights. Either like something like tangible, something concrete, like you took a watch from someone, you took a CD from someone, you know, when we just go to a brother's house and like, you know, oh man, like I like this, like that CD. Can I borrow it from you? It's like, yeah. And then another brother comes, like, you know, can I borrow that CD? Like, yeah. And then you end up, mashallah, having, you know, a stack of CDs at home. None of them is yours. Right? And like, you know, and we take it lightly. Maybe that brother, he meant it just to borrow, you know, like, to lend it to you. Not that you will take it. So go home, see the things that does not belong to you, and give it back. Or you ask the permission of the person that he meant to give it to you, not just to lend it to you. Sometimes, you know, maybe like at the time when you were not practicing Islam, you stole something from someone. You have to give it back if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your tawbah. Because in the day of judgment, that person will come and take your good deeds. Because at the time, you know, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be no pounds, no children. It's only good deeds. They will take your good deeds. And the other type of rights is like something abstract. For example, you slander someone. You said something bad about someone. The scholar said you have to go and ask him to forgive you in this way. You don't have to go and say, brother, I said this and this and this about you, because you might have issues with anger. He might knock you down. Or like give the book, you know, the gun and just get rid of you. No, you just go and say, you know what? You know, at my time, you know, of jahiliyyah, you know, I did some wrong things, and one of them, like, you know, I said bad things about you. Would you please forgive me? What if that person that you took something from him died, or the person that you slandered died? The scholar said, still, you have to give that thing to his, you know, inheritors, or if you can't reach them, you buy like something, or you give charity with the intention that the reward will go to that person. But like today you have money, tomorrow you wouldn't have money. You have to get rid of that now. What if like I slander someone and I can't find him? You know, you just go in the gatherings where you used to say bad things about him and say good things about him. But don't lie. For example, that person is stingy. Like, you know, you say stingy here?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, and don't go and say like this brother or like is the most generous brother I've seen in my life. That's lying. That's lying. No, you go and say something good which is real about him. Okay? And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, to forgive you and make lots of istighfar and give lots of charity. These are the four conditions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your tawbah, inshaAllah. What acts should we do in the night of Ramadan? Many acts. First of all, you know, don't eat too much. Because if you eat too much, you'll sleep. And Ramadan comes only once in the year. You should make the best use of the night. So make a balance, because if you are working, you need some sleep. That's number one. So make a balance between your worldly needs and like the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan. So sleep for some time, but then the rest of the night, the rest of the night you should do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you should do night prayers. You should recite some Quran. You should study like some of the Quran. If there are halakas around you in the masjid that you have, you know, you should attend those halakas, inshallah. You know, make sure that no night will go by without you increasing your level of iman in Ramadan. Is it okay to say astaghfirullah if you are about to get angry, but you want Allah to forgive you for thinking bad thoughts in your head? Anyway, like alhamdulillah, it's for the Ummah of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهُ. You know, like if you are thinking about something bad, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you accountable for this. When this ayah was revealed, the Sahaba came to the Prophet ﷺ on their knees and they were crying. This is the Prophet of Allah, you know, who can endure this ayah? You know, it's very tough for us. So the Prophet ﷺ said to them, you know, would you say like the people before you? Listen, we listen and disobey. They said, what should we say? The Prophet ﷺ said, say, we listen and obey. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that ayah that abrogated that ayah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. Meaning, it's only for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we think about something bad, as long as it doesn't come out in the form of saying or doing, you're forgiven. So don't worry about that. But it's always good to say astaghfirullah. You know, it's good to train your tongue to say this all the time. After attending Eternal Journey this weekend, I wrote my dad who is not practicing. Please briefly talk about this dunya being temporary and the akhirah being eternal. JazakAllah khair. It's a whole talk by itself. You know, I mean, I can't cover this right now. I hope inshallah we'll have another chance inshallah when I visit to come and talk about this. But basically, subhanallah, I did this exercise with the brothers and sisters, and we might end up with it inshallah. If you don't mind, I'm just going to do an exercise with you. I'll ask you to stand up and do exercise just to let you know, subhanAllah, the value of this dunya and how long we live in this dunya compared to the meaning of khalidina fiha, which we read in the Quran many times. Whether people will go to Jannah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them, or others will go to Jahannam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Sometimes we think we're living here forever, and subhanAllah, we know that we are living anyway. And 60, 70, and very few of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will live beyond that. So the question is, you know, if somebody were to offer you fake silver and somebody's offering you real gold, which one would you take? Which one would you take? Most people today, they are holding on fast to fake silver, which is this dunya. Imagine living for 60 or 70 years, and who can tell me he had ever lived a complete life of happiness or health in this life? No one. But subhanAllah, in Jannah, three announcements will be made. La siqam, no sickness. La hiram, no old age. La maut, no death. What are the main concerns of people in this life? You want to stay young forever? That's only in Jannah. People are thinking about the fountain of youth, right? And the fiction stories, right? It doesn't exist in this dunya, right? They're just like they're fooling you in those fictions. It's only in Jannah. So the main concerns of people can only be addressed in Jannah. There is no old age. We will all be the age of Isa alayhi salam, 33. And there is no sickness in Jannah, and there is no death in Jannah. I just wanted to imagine the word khalidina fiha. It's eternity. But here, it is mortality. We're dying. When? We don't even know. So how can we hold on fast to this life? نحن كطلاب نحب أن نؤدي عبادات كصلاة التراويح وقراءة القرآن أو قيام الليل ولكن صعب بالنسبة لنا فماذا نعمل؟ As students, we love to do lots of acts of worship like taraweeh and reciting the Quran and qiyam al-layl, but it's difficult for us. It's your own call. You have to make a balance. Because Allah will never ask you something beyond your ability. For example, if you are a student, you need to balance your life. Some time for study, some time for sleep. But also there is some time that you can give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I'm going to leave it to you to make that balance. Because some people take it to the extreme, I'm going to say, this is Ramadan, I'm not going to study. All what I'm going to do is, you know, I'm going to, you know, do my ibadah, and I don't care. And then they do very bad. So Islam doesn't encourage you, you know, to sacrifice your dunya, because you're living in this dunya. You have to take care of your dunya too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَبِتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, you have to seek the eternity in the hereafter. But don't forget your proportion in this life. And this is why I'm going to end up with this wise saying. It's not a hadith, by the way. Some people put it as a hadith. It's a wise saying. They say, اعْمَلْ لِدُنْيَاكَ كَأَنَّكَ تَعِيشُ أَبَدًا وَاعْمَلْ لِآخِرَتِكَ كَأَنَّكَ تَمُوتُ أَبَدًا. Work for the worldly life as if you will live forever. And this is exactly the plan of everybody. People who are living for this dunya only, when you ask them, what are you doing? It's like, making a plan for the next 10 years, inshallah. I'm saving some more money. I'm securing the future of the students. This is the future of my children. The future of your children is in Jannah. Your own future is in Jannah. So work for this dunya as if you live forever. And we know that we're not going to live forever. And they say, work for the akhirah as if you are dying tomorrow. So if you know that you are dying tomorrow, you know, what will be your main concern? Let me conclude with the activity that I promised you. If I were to ask all of you, please, to stand up. I want you to close your eyes and try to remember like what you have done in your previous life. Like if you are 23, 12, 14 like me, 60, 70. Just try to remember what you have done in your life. And once you finish, open your eyes. Go. Okay. Open your eyes. Have a seat, please. Some of you opened your eyes after 10 seconds. Some of you after 15 seconds. Others after 25 seconds. Others after 40 seconds. I mean, the maximum that I have seen, like people who opened their eyes like recently, like at the end, was like 61 seconds. Can you imagine 25 years that passes now, like 25 seconds? I'm going to end up with this ayah in Surah Al-Mu'minun. The same exact scene that we live now is going to happen in the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that ayah,
قال كم لبثتم في الأرض عدد سنين.
How long have you lived in the worldly life?
قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعض يوم فاسأل العادين.
How long have you lived in this worldly life? The answer would be, we lived one day. Can you imagine? Your 80 years, your 60 years, sounds like one day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. One day in the sight of Allah is equal to 1,000. The Day of Judgment itself is 50,000 years. The Day of Judgment itself is 50,000 years. We will forget everything we have done in this life. So just think about this. All your life now that you lived is equal to 40-second or 60-second clip. But there's another life which is eternal. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear, and He made a statement, if you are a believer, you have two options, to accept this ayah or to accept this ayah. It's so number 29, Surah Al-Ankabut, and number 64. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talked about this worldly life, He says, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْمٌ وَلَعِبٌ. And this worldly life is nothing but amusement and play.
وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ.
And indeed, the real life is the life in the Akhirah, if they really know. Who's telling you this? Who's telling me this? Al-Aleem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows everything. So the real life is the Akhirah. So for those who are fooled by this dunya, it's time to wake up, and Ramadan is a chance for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of our steps inshaAllah, and grant us tawbah before Ramadan, and shahada at the moment of death, and Jannah, inshallah, after death. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.